Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our lesson, we want to consider two passages of Scripture. Both of them are evaluations that Jacob made of his own life. What strikes us so forcefully is that the two statements are seemingly contradictory. The evaluations are completely different. It was the same life and being reviewed by the same man, but the statements were made some 17 years apart. Now, that had something to do with it. But what is of greater significance is that Jacob viewed in his life from separate perspectives. In one of them, he took recognition of God. And the other, well, he more or less left God out of it. In the first passage, in Genesis 47 and verse 9, Jacob emphasizes the disappointments and the failures of his life. He stresses how his days have been few and evil. The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and have not attained unto the days of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. But in the second passage, he places emphasis on his blessings, and he reflected upon what God had done for him. He realized how God had fed him and redeemed him. God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the name, and let my name be named among them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16. Well, first let us commend the idea of evaluating our lives. Self-examination is a very wholesome and beneficial practice. In fact, we're urged to examine ourselves. We need to stop long enough in the hurry and scurry of life to take note of where we have been and where we are and where we're going. We need to take stock regarding what we used to be and what we are now and what we intend to be in the future. Older people can look upon their past and likely they will see sorrows and tragedies and distresses and losses and regrets. But they will also likely see blessings and goodness and kindness, God's providence and successes. We all might ask whether our lives have been good thus far. Doubtless, there may be seasons of regret and mistake. But has there not also been seasons of bounty and plenty? The young ought to take a look at life, even though they may not have lived much of it as yet. Even while most of their life is before them, they need to consider whether their lives will be fruitful and beneficial, whether their lives will be worth living, and of service to God and man. We need to evaluate our lives and remember that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Luke 12 and verse 15. We need to remember that the soul is worth more than all the world. Matthew 16 and verse 26. We must recall the priority of Jesus that those who serve are the greatest in the kingdom, Matthew 23:11. And life is brief, even at the longest. It's pictured as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, James 4 and verse 14. Therefore we ought to make the most of it. Why did Jacob make such different evaluations of his life? Well, in the first instance, he was before Pharaoh, having just left his homeland, the land that God promised the descendants of Abraham. He had come to Egypt because of the famine, and he had been reunited with his son Joseph. He had suffered many hard times during his life. There had been the strife with Esau in his young years, and of course, much of that was his own doing. He had to flee from his home for his very life. He had difficulties with his father-in-law, Laban. And while Jacob had tricked and deceived others, he had also been the victim of deception. His own sons had tortured him by selling his favorite son, Joseph, into Egypt, and had allowed him to think that Joseph was dead. His sons had brought him into disfavor with the inhabitants of the land of Canaan because of Dinah, his daughter. And now he had left his home again in his old age, and he knew he would not see it again. But he was before Pharaoh, an unbeliever. Yet he was complaining about how he had been more or less shortchanged in his life. He never once took recognition of the good things God had done for him. He never showed any appreciation for his good fortune at that moment in seeing Joseph again and knowing that his family would survive the famine. There was no mention of God whatever. And sure enough, when one leaves God out of his evaluation of life, he's not going to see very much that is worthwhile. On the second occasion, he was in the presence of his family. He had his sons and grandsons around him. He was pronouncing blessings upon each of them. He was recalling how God had preserved and sustained him. And he could recall his prosperity, his many children, the reunion with Joseph, the hope that his seed would continue. This time he was giving God credit for the blessings he had enjoyed. It was God that had been the source of these blessings. And when he turned his attention to God, he could see the fullness of his life. Friend, how we look on a situation to determine whether it is good or evil, to some degree depends upon the situation, to be sure, but it also depends upon our own attitude. What we think is important, what we think is really what we are. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." It is not that one is what he thinks he is, but one is what he thinks. His thinking is so important. We think in the heart, because out of the heart are the issues of life, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. We need to set our affections on things above. Think rightly. Evaluate properly, including God and what God has done for us. After all, he's the fount of every blessing. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, James 1 and verse 17. The difference in the two attitudes and the two evaluations of his life was God. When we include God, things will be different. Temptations can be met and overcome. And what we cannot overcome, we can endure. We can enjoy the peace that belongs to those who are right with God. Nothing stresses how God makes a difference more than the passage in Ephesians chapter 2 that describes how the Christian was, before he became a Christian, dead in trespasses, dead in sins, walking according to the course of this world, disobedient, having our manner of life in the lust of the flesh and mind. Then Paul spoke of that which made the difference. In verse 4 he says, "But God." Because of God's love, because of his mercy, we were made spiritually alive and raised up and made to sit in heavenly places with Christ. God made the difference. Now Jacob could not know the fullness that Christians can enjoy, but Jacob was a prominent part in the unfolding of God's scheme for saving man. Yes, he had his hard moments, but he had his blessings. When he concentrated on the difficult, his life seemed dark and dreary. But when he thought of what God had done, God made such a difference. And his life was considered one that was filled with blessings. Like Paul said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8, verse 31. So, friend, let us take stock of our lives and let God in. Let us emphasize God in our life, and life will not seem only better, but it will be better. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.